Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one righteous page of Talmud each day. And on today's daf, Bava Metzia 35, we receive this nugget. Have a listen. The Gemara asks, and what is different so that the debtor trusts the creditor that the collateral is not in his possession? And what is different that the creditor does not trust the debtor to accurately assess the value of the collateral? The Gemara answers, the debtor sees in the creditor fulfillment of the verse, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, Proverbs 11:3. He believes that God blesses the creditor with wealth to lend because he is an upright person. The creditor sees in the debtor fulfillment of the end of that verse, but the perverseness of the faithless shall destroy them, Proverbs 11:3. The creditor believes that God made the debtor poor because he is a deceitful person. Now ignore the moral judgment implicit in this exchange and observe the fascinating notion that the Talmud, citing the Torah, establishes a strong bond between wealth and righteousness. Those who do right and care for the poor and are pure-hearted will thrive, whereas those who have no faith, only greed, will eventually perish. It's a problematic notion. So today, we'd like to practice that old journalistic adage, show, don't tell, and show you some righteous people who are thriving. They are the proprietors of the social grocery store, Tel Aviv's only food pantry that serves asylum seekers, migrants who fled persecution and genocide and who are struggling just to get by. The food pantry gives them not only the products that they need and some that they yearn for, but also a chance to shop with dignity. The producers of the Unorthodox podcast, where this piece will also air tomorrow, check it out, talked to the amazing people behind this amazing project just a few weeks ago in southern Tel Aviv. Here it is.
Look at these little cuties with their costumes for Purim. Hello.
Levana.
This is the garden in front of the Social Grocery Store, a food pantry in Tel Aviv. We were there around Purim, so some of the kids walking in with their families were in costume.
Shalom.
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 Shalom. My name.
And those are jets flying overhead in the background. The Social Grocery Store is set up like any other grocery store, except the items on the shelves are all free, and the families walking in are all stateless. They've left their home countries behind for one reason or another and are now seeking asylum in Israel.
The Social Grocery Store is actually the only food pantry for this population in the entirety of the country. It is the only resource at this scale that affords food security to this population. There is no other project of this kind in the entire country.
That's Natalie Silverleaf. She helped found the Social Grocery Store in 2021.
In Israel, the asylum seeker population have little to no access to rights or social services from the government. They are under a protected status. They won't be kicked out. So they're here, but they're here in a very unstable situation. And their status is also unstable. At any point, the government could change their recognition of the community and the policies. And so that instability causes further harm to their mental and emotional well-being.
Most came from Eritrea or Sudan, leaving terrible situations for the relative safety of the Jewish state. Here in Israel, they found places to live and jobs to do, often in restaurants and hotels. And then many found themselves stuck. Asylum claims can take years to process, leaving people not just without a state, but also without state social services. You can get by until things get bad again.
So imagine during the pandemic, everything was completely shut down. And overnight, the hospitality industry closed completely, office buildings closed completely, and this population lost their livelihood within the blink of an eye. We were really on the brink of a humanitarian disaster, because this community had nothing to fall back on. And unfortunately, there were no other resources available to them.
One of the few places these stateless families could go was Mesila, Tel Aviv's Department for Migrant Services. Or Batan worked there with Silverleaf in 2020. She saw firsthand just how deeply people were struggling.
What happened during the pandemic, as Natalie said, people lost their job and they were hungry. Mm-hmm. So we had lots of people standing outside the Mesila gate asking for food and formula and diapers. They weren't able to buy any food. So we just gave them whatever we got from donations.
They handed out what they could, but it wasn't enough. They needed more food and different kinds of food. The Eritrean and Sudanese families who needed it had different cultural and dietary needs than your average Jewish Israeli. So Bitan in Silver Leap opened the social grocery store in 2021. It now serves hundreds of families. Once Masila refers asylum seekers to the food pantry, they can visit every week and pick up what they need when they need it. And the experience once they get there, it's like going to any grocery store. You choose the items you like. Silver Leap says it's set up this way to treat their clients with dignity.
As opposed to us dictating what their diet should be and holding all of the power, we're providing them the power and them the choice.
So as you can see here, we have signs in three languages. This is Tigrinya, the language they speak in Eritrea, Arabic for the Sudanese community, and English for the undocumented community. And we are distributing the food according to the family size. If you are one adult with one child, two parents with three children, it's different amounts of food. And all the food that's on the shelves here, the food that we are buying, is according to what the community wants. So every time a shopper comes, we are register what they took, and now we know what they prefer and we are changing accordingly. The food here is answering their dietary preference.
The food pantry stocks its shelves by buying food directly and by accepting donations from food rescue organizations like Leket Israel, which collects leftover food from farms and supermarkets. They try to balance staples like fruits and vegetables and ingredients for traditional Sudanese and Eritrean dishes.
Injera, so they need the lentils. And they need the tomato sauce. And we have pasta and rice. They use a lot of rice, flour, and canola oil. And then we have, more for the kids, the tuna, the corn, chickpeas. I can't see.
It also stocks hygiene products, winter coats, and children's books in different languages. It tries to feel like home. The people stocking the shelves play a big part in that, whether they're Israelis or recent immigrants themselves.
They've read,
okay. Salam from Eritrea.
She's Salam from Eritrea.
Yeah, you can speak in English.
My name is Salam from Eritrea. I am here, Ken.
12 years.
12 years here in Israel. Now I'm here in Shoshar grocery store.
How many years are you working here with us?
Almost
3 years.
Almost 3 years.
How old are you? 29. And how many children do you have?
I have three children.
Do you like working here at the social grocery
store?
Yeah,
I like it.
What do you like about it?
I like with people. I help what I can. I help them.
All of us close.
This is Eitan.
I am Eitan. I'm 29 years old, like Salam. Working here like 9 months, something like this. And I very love to work here because it's not only groceries. It's like it's to speak with people, to be kind to people, and you can meet them. And when I go outside, I always say, like our customers, I say, and we speak, and it's very nice. And sometimes they update us. Sometimes they just say hi. Sometimes they sit outside 2 hours, and we play with the kids and with have the Filipino woman in Khamishi. Anna, 1 hour, we smoke outside cigarette. They bring papers. We help them with papers. It's very important to me.
Sometimes the workers and volunteers will help the customers with paperwork in Hebrew. Sometimes they'll chat for a while. Often, they're just learning about each other while bagging groceries.
When I hear something, yesterday Salam told me, when I open apples, in Eritrea, apple cost like 100 shekel. Like it was so expensive, it was only for the rich. And she said, in Israel, it's not like this.
We met one volunteer who'd been at the store so long that he'd helped put up its first shelves.
Hey, my name is Modi. I started here 3 years ago to volunteer. I'm coming once a week. And I'm happy. I'm already know the customers, and it's nice. I hope this project will carry on, and we can help the community.
When Modi got his pension, he volunteered in a few places around Israel, but he stuck around here for a reason.
I'm helping myself by helping them. I think and I see that the politician and governments, not all the time, see the people in front of their eyes. Unfortunately, not only in Israel, but here as well. And this community needs help. So I'm happy to do the minimum I can do as a volunteer. but they are not getting what they want to be an Israeli. There are people without identity. Some of them have kids 15, even 17 years old. They're absolutely 100% Israelis. They're born here. But still, they have no passport, or so they cannot even go to the army. They want to go to the army. They're an Israeli. They speak fluent Hebrew better than me.
In the eyes of the state, these asylum seekers are not Israelis. Maybe they will be at some time in the future. But for now, they're vulnerable to any sort of instability. That was clear during the pandemic, and it was extremely clear after October 7th. Here's Silverlieb again.
So we support each month 600 families, and that's thousands of people collectively each month. And on October 10th, we're open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On October 10th, we were here. We were operational. We had to be operational, especially in times of crisis and especially in times of war. That's the stability that we provide. Our presence provides that stability to the community. They can rely on us. October 10th, all the way through the end of November, looked at a ramped up distribution of an additional 875 families on top of the 600 that we were already serving, who were provided fruits and vegetables and cooked meals. It was about 1,500 portions of prepared food, of cooked food, that we distributed during that time.
After October 7th, many more people all over Israel are at risk of going hungry. People can't move back into their homes. Farms can't be tended. It's hard for everyone.
But this community always seems to fall through the cracks, especially at Misila and for fundraising for this project. It's always challenging fundraising for the asylum seeker community. But even more so now, where it's a community where their well-being is already compromised, given their status in Israel, given what they have been through to arrive here, given the uncertainty of the future of their children, of their own future.
Silverlieb has been impressed by the money raised throughout the world to help citizens displaced by October 7th and the war. But she wants some of that money to go to people who may not be Israeli, but are already living like Israelis.
These are human beings living here, experiencing what I'm experiencing or anybody else that's here is experiencing. When sirens go off, there are no bomb shelters in their homes. They have to run. I'm fortunate enough. I have a bomb shelter, you know, right outside my door. Some people have them in their house. They don't have that. So it's incredibly terrifying for them, and they don't have the access to the resources that they need to provide them some level of comfort. And all of the kind of mobilization of new funds that have been transferred to the Jewish Israeli communities, that has not been available to this community. But this community, they're here. They're living here. They're part of it. They're part of the story of October 7th and after. They're a part of it. There are over 22,000 asylum seekers just living in Tel Aviv. Over 6,000 of those are children. They're here. They deserve assistance. They deserve to feel some type of safety. They deserve to have some fragment of stability. They often get overlooked before and now more than ever. So I think they need to be recognized as a part of the response efforts and the funding that is being distributed.
For now, the social grocery store continues to do what it does best.
How does it make you feel to fill up that bag?
It's nice. I am happy for her, yes. It's very good. It's wonderful. No? You're excited yourself, no? I can feel it back for you as well. It's nice. It's very nice. Here.
This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butting, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.